If you're not worshiping God, you say, no, I ain't worshiping the devil. He's got you fooled already. He's got you so wrapped up, you think you're doing it on your own. You don't have no own. There's only two forces. If it's not God, it's Satan. There's no in between. It's not you. You don't have no understanding. You don't control nothing. You can say, it's my life. No, it ain't your life, because if it was yours, you can keep it. You can't keep it. You're going to give it up. If you don't want to give it up, they're going to tow you away.
Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. Every believer is going to find themselves in a moment where they have to determine whether they're going to follow God or follow the temptations that the enemy would bring towards us. As Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, so will we be. Come and go with us today as we share this message about worshiping God only.
I had looked in the past few weeks at a passage of scriptures in the book of Mark that showed Jesus being tempted by the devil. I want to conclude that this morning. But for those who were not here, I want to just bring you up to where we are. When John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching the crowd to which he was speaking, Jesus was the one that he would eventually baptize. He spoke out loud for everybody to hear. He says, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that one he was referring to was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the deliverer of all mankind, the Savior of the world. John saw him coming and said, there he is. He showed up while John was preaching. Jesus had not begun his public ministry. He'd not preached his first sermon, nor had he performed his first miracle. He was just ready to get on with his earthly assignment to fulfill God's will. We are told of the baptism of Jesus, and we're also told of the Holy Spirit coming upon him with the likeness of a dove, and God speaking out in a loud voice to approve all that was happening by saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But before he began his ministry, things took a turn. And immediately we see Jesus being led into the wilderness to be tested and tempted by the devil. There are many of us whom the Lord wants to use and will use for his glory, but we're going to have to endure some tests. We're going to have to endure some tests and some temptation and some approving. The devil took Jesus out to the wilderness to tempt him to disobey God. God allowed him to go so God could approve him before he got started on his ministry. God doesn't want you to get up there and start representing without being approved. It's more than a notion. When you decide, I want God to use me, then stuff start happening. Then you'll see why God said you ain't ready. You thought you were through cussing. But you found out there was still a few words left on the inside. And God said, see there, you ain't ready. Jesus had to go through a season of testing, and so will we. Often our testing will come when we have realized some success or we've had a great victory. You know, we got saved and we've been going to Sunday school and Bible study and we've been reading the Word of God, and we joined in at the beginning of the year with a fast, and we fasted 21 days, and we've come to prayer, and things are looking good spiritually. But often our testing will come after we've had some great victory. So after Jesus had fasted 40 days, then the devil shows up with the test. But it's not just unique to him or to you. It happens to everyone who's going to minister before the Lord. After being brave and bold in front of 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah ran and hid in fear when Jezebel threatened him. He just got through doing great things for God. Now Jezebel threatened him, and he's in fear. And God said, I thought you were bold, but he wasn't. when Moses led Israel out of Egypt, Pharaoh hemmed them in at the Red Sea, and all the folks said to Moses, "Why you bring us out here like this?" He was being tested. Hezekiah had just left a big Passover celebration when he discovered that the enemy had surrounded him in the city to try to kill him. Now he had to try to see what God's going to do. Peter had just emphatically told Jesus, "I don't care what anybody else do, I'm never going to deny you. You can depend on me." That's like the people come say, "I'm going to be with you, Pastor. You can believe that. I don't know what anybody else do, Pastor, but you can count on me." That's what Peter was saying. "I don't know what anybody else going to do, Jesus, but you can count on me." It was not too long after that when they grabbed Jesus to drag him off and arrested him. And Peter was standing around. They said, "Weren't you with him?" Peter said, "No, I wasn't with him." "I wasn't with him." But Peter followed him to try to see what's going to happen. And he was warming himself by the fire. And a little slave girl said, "You look like... I saw you with him." He said, "No, I wasn't with him." He was being tested. "I wasn't with him." And the Bible said Peter cussed. So when you cussing, you ain't with him. But that's what people say. "Well, I'm with you, Pastor." I just said, "Well, thank you." Because when it gets tough, when the pastor says something you don't like, you ain't with him. And you're going to tell some other folk you ain't with them. Not only are you not with them, you're going to tell them, "I ain't with them." I'm just glad they don't do that at the Light of the World. We may think we're ready, but we're not ready till the Lord says we're ready. You ain't ready just because other folks say you're ready. That sure was annoying that. You ain't ready till the Lord said you're ready. We may not appreciate that until after we've been through the fire. But once you go through the fire, then you don't have to worry about what folks are going to say. Because you know that you've been approved by God. Matthew had a very detailed writing on this same issue. We've been looking at it in the book of Mark. But let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we had our first sermon on this temptation on this subject after reading this. The subject of that message was, "I know you want some of this." Satan was appealing to Jesus' appetite. And he's going to appeal to your appetite as well. And he's going to say, "I know you want some of this." When you're single and you haven't had no loving, and you just come off of your fast and you've been praying, and then you come into a situation, he's going to say, "I know you want some of this. You used to struggle with alcohol and drugs and all of that," and he's going to say, "I know you want some of this. You've been struggling with the bad temple and all kinds of anger issues. I know you want some of this, and I know you want to go upside their head. I know that. Go on, do that." But Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him, in verse 5, to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. If you are the Son of God." Now, we just seen earlier that God himself said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So the devil gonna come to you and I say, "If you're saved, you ought to be able to drink as much as you want." He said, "You can drink. If you're saved, you ought to be able to handle that. If you're saved, you ought to be able to do that. You ought to be able to walk on water. If you're saved." In other words, he will put you out in an area where you will put God to the test to see if you're going to do that. "If you're saved, you ought to be able to take your tithe money down to Kushada. And the Lord ought to be able to bless you while you're down there in Kushada on Sunday morning instead of service. I'm doing this for the Lord. The devil said, just jump off that building. Jesus used the word of God on him first. Man shall not live by bread alone. Satan said, you want to go down that road? Jump off of that building. The Bible says he give his angels charge over you, and he's not going to let you dash your foot against a stone if you want to use the Bible. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put your God to the test. Don't put God to the test. When the doctor told you to take your medicine and God didn't tell you anything different, you say, I ain't taking this medicine. I'm just going to go and believe God. You better know you can hear from God. That devil will tell you, yeah, you got faith enough. Just go on and do that. Don't pick up no deadly snake just because the scripture says, and you'll be able to pick up a serpent. Now, black folks ain't got no problem overriding that. No, we ain't finna do that one. That's those folks in Appalachia. If you're holy, you ought to be able to pick this up. No, don't put God to the test, and after a while, he'd be dead. Well, that brother didn't have faith. In verse 8, again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. I want to just point out something so that we don't miss it. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Notice what he said. All this I will give to you. He recognized that he is the God of this world, and he has the power to give you some things when you are working for him. The gangsters and the drug dealers and all those people that's doing all that criminal activity, living in them big houses for a season, he reward those who diligently seek him too. So he says to Jesus, I'll give this to you if you bow down and worship me. Now, I want to share this with you. That's the same thing that he wants you to do. Just because you didn't recognize it, don't mean that's not what his goal is. His goal is to have every man, woman, and child to bow down and worship him. And there's only two alternatives. You're either worshiping God or you're worshiping the devil. And if you're not worshiping God, you say, no, I ain't worshiping the devil. He's got you fooled already. He's got you so wrapped up, you think you're doing it on your own. You don't have no own. There's only two forces. If it's not God, it's Satan. There's no in between. It's not you. You don't have nothing. You don't have no understanding. You don't control nothing. You can say, it's my life. No, it ain't your life, because if it was yours, you can keep it. You can't keep it. You're going to give it up. If you don't want to give it up, they're going to tow you away. You're not going to be able to keep that. Jesus here in this temptation moment had to work through these three major areas. One, if you're the Son of God, he said, prove it by turning these stones into bread. Show me what you got. Then he went on and said, I want you to jump off of this roof so you can show what you can do. Jesus says, no, I live by the word of God, and I'm not putting him to the test with sensationalism. That's what he wanted. Be sensational. Let everybody else know who you are too. Have a big show. Let them see that you jumped off and you made it. Jesus says, no, I don't go that way. Satan showed him the kingdoms, those magnificent kingdoms of Egypt, the pyramids, the temples, the treasures. He showed him the power and the splendor of Rome with this mighty empire spread all over that known world. He showed him the city of Athens in Greece, Babylon and Corinth and Jerusalem. I give all these to you if you would just bow down and worship me. But Jesus knew that he already had the kingdoms given to him by God. He said, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and everything belonged to you. Satan knew and was saying, I'm only offering you what God already said you have. But you can have it now. He's so cunning. See, the thing we have to understand that the devil been practicing for a long time. And he knows all the maneuvering and all of the ways that he can counteract everything that you got going. You just think you're smart and you're quick. The devil said, I've been doing this for thousands of years. I already know what you're going to say. I know how you're going to. I done fooled people from Hitler to everybody else. You think you're somebody? You think you can cope with me? No, I'm going to show you. If God said you can have it, you can get it right now. You don't have to follow those scriptures just like he said. Just do what I tell you. Satan is the great deceiver. He offers what seemed to be the same as God offers, but he offers it at a cheaper price. You don't have to go to prayer meeting to do this. Why you got to pray that long? Y'all ever heard that? That wasn't God. I don't know why the pastor want us to come to prayer. He always talking about coming to prayer. Everybody don't have to pray like that. You think that was the Holy Spirit sharing that with you? You're going to have to learn how to say, get behind me. In fact, some of you don't even need him behind you. Jesus said, get away from me. I was at a little restaurant this morning and the cashier was singing a song, shake, 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 shake the devil. I said, how you let him get on? I said, how he got such a grip, you got to shake him off. God wants you to prosper, doesn't he? That's what the enemy going to say. God wants you to prosper, doesn't he? He'll tell you that when the cashier give you too much money for your change. And you know you need to give it back. But he said, no, God wants you to prosper. Pastor already said we're blessed going out, blessed coming in. This must be the blessings of the Lord. Give the folks their money back. That is not your money. The devil will want to use scriptures on you. Pastor already said, and grace will always abound toward you. And now you remember that when you got that $200 extra. You look into your account and somebody misappropriated and put your account number on their deposit instead of theirs. Then you want to just pray and start testifying, ooh, how good God is. No, I'll call the bank and say, y'all made a mistake. This does not belong to me. Y'all been doing that? But that's what he does. God wants you to have that. God wants you to do that. But he said, just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, for it is written, get away from me, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here's what I want to tell you. When the heat is on, stay with the word of God. If you're going to stay with the word of God, you're going to have to know the word of God. That's why we encourage you to come to Bible Institute so you can know the word of God, because we know the enemy's coming. Amen. Jesus said this when he was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. When you know these words of mine and do these words, you're going to be like the house planted on a solid foundation. So when the storms come and when the wind come, you're going to be able to stand. But if you don't know these words and you don't do these words, when the storm come, you're going to collapse. So you need to know the word of God. You need to get into the word of God for yourself. The enemy's going to come. He's going to bring you something close and similar and something that's watered down. And you're going to say, well, yeah, that's right. No, go back and say, no, that's not what it said. When you can't see your way, stay with the word of God. When you feel all alone and there's nobody to encourage you, stay with the word of God, because the enemy's going to come to you and tell you you need to do this because nobody else cares about you. What does he do in the church? He comes in the church with all kinds of darts and words and things and make you think nobody care about you. Somebody trying to do something to you and all this stuff like that. You need to concentrate on the word. You go to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly. But read that psalm that says, but he meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And he meditate on the word of God. Don't meditate on those thoughts the enemy send to your mind to tell you something going on. He wants you to bow down and worship him. One of the biggest problems in the church today, people come to the building, but they're still bowing down and worshiping the devil. Because you're bowing down to him at home, and then you stand up here and lift your hands to the Lord in the church. you're bowing down to worship him when you leave here. But when you come to church, you want to say, yes, Lord. You can't have it both ways. You can't walk with the Lord and run with the devil. Satan tempts us in the same way he tempted Jesus. First, he's going to try to get us to distrust God's promise, distrust his love and his care for us. And he's going to try to get you to solve your own problems on your own without trusting God. God gave me my good senses. Well, he sure did. But he also said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own good senses. Your good senses is only good to you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. That's what the word of God says. We're not going to live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's the challenge for the church today. The reason that the culture is so degraded is not because of the sinners. It's because the folks who are saints aren't living like saints. So the sinners don't have anybody to compare to. Secondly, the devil is going to try to get us to presume on God's care and forgiveness by willingly putting ourselves in the way of danger. That was that second temptation. Whether physical, economic, moral, or spiritual, he's going to say, you can do that. That's all right. You can do that. You have the liberty in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the liberty. It works like this. You know, the Lord will forgive me. You know, I already planned on sinning. And then you're going to use that scripture that says, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But you say, I'm going to use that after I get through. That's tempting the Lord. You might not get through. Third, he's going to appeal to selfish ambition and try to get us to use our own worn schemes to fulfill the promise that God made to us. That was that last temptation. I give you this. Jesus already have everything. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And Satan says, you can have it right now. The message that the Lord is teaching us in this passage is this. When temptation comes, don't look at the temptation. Look at Jesus Christ. All of us are tempted. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how holy you are. You have many victories in the past. Tomorrow hadn't come yet. There's going to be something that's going to come that's going to test where you're standing with God. There's always something. And the enemy knows exactly where you have been vulnerable. And he's going to come. And he's going to test that.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and thank you so much for joining us again as we've been sharing some messages with those of us who are believers, how God wants our lives to be totally committed to him. It was Jesus Christ who said to Satan while he was being tempted, "Do not tempt the Lord your God, but worship him only." Not only are we to worship him, we are to work for him. We are not ashamed of the gospel. There are people who need to hear the word of God, and we need to tell him that Jesus is the way and that he's calling sinners to come to him. Why don't you let God use your life today to reach others? And if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is an opportunity for you to invite him into your life. If you would like to hear this message again in its entirety, you can hear it on our podcast. Go to Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can hear today's message as well as previous messages that have aired on this station. I invite you to be our guest at the Light of the World each Sunday. We're meeting at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road. That's right in North Houston. If you live in Atascocita, Kingwood, Summerwood, or Fall Creek, or in North Houston, you're in our neighborhood. So come and be our guest. If you're looking for a bookstore, we have one right here on our campus, the Beacon Bookstore, where you can get Bibles, Sunday school curriculum, church supplies, communion supplies, or whatever you need. Call the Beacon at 281-441-2885. That's 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.